Take my life, Lord, and let it be consecrated unto thee. And so, you know, I'm very thankful for the Word of God. I tell you, today in this life, in this age that we live in, we have so much going on. And as we looked at the week before last, because I wasn't here, I'm praying and I have hope that you all have been reading the Scripture, the Word of God. So, you know, maybe you have found something interesting in there. Well, I certainly did myself going through His Word. And I'm very thankful that this sickness was for the glory of God. Lazarus, who was Jesus' beloved friend. Now, we have to understand there's two words here mentioned in John chapter 11. One was loved, and that was the idea of Mary is saying to Jesus, Lord, in verse 3, he says, and therefore the sisters said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom ye love is sick. It has the idea of a friendship. A friendship. You know you loved him, Lord, and he's sick. And they didn't understand. And sometimes in life we don't understand why we do get sick. There's all kinds of reasons why people get sick. You live in a cursed world, but then at the same time, it's a trial too. And some of us have suffered through sickness. And sometimes it's just been untimely. And we figure, you know, why does this happen? Well, I'm very thankful that Jesus knows these things. And we see also too, the second word here used was for love, is that there's a godly love. There's a love that we're going to look at in a divine love. It states here, so Jesus, through his divine love, now Jesus in verse 5, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus as the divine love. So God's got two things going on for us today. One, he's our best friend. And two, he is a God of love. And he loves us. More than we could ever love ourselves, more than we could ever love somebody as a friend. He understands. And let me encourage you here that you are that certain person today. Today, you are that certain person that could go home to be with the Lord at any time. And, you know, I have to ask myself, and I don't think about death. I don't think about it every day. I don't go to sleep thinking about it. In fact, I think death is something that is most unwelcome, untimely. Nobody likes it. But each one of us has that day as appointed. Well, out of nowhere, you see Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He would go over there to their place in Bethany for dinner. And he would spend time with them. And there were three places that he would go quite often. One was Capernaum, where Jesus spent a lot of time at Peter's mother's house. He would also spend time in Nazareth, where Jesus was actually born in that area there and grew up. And then, of course, there was time in Bethany. And where we left off last week, we left off here that Jesus was causing trouble for people. Because remember, these Pharisees, these religious people, and you might have people in your life today that, you know, they look at you as a troublemaker because they looked at Jesus and they're saying, look, we want a political leader. We want you to come in and deal with these Romans here, these oppressors. And, you know, sometimes people are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places, looking for Jesus. Okay, well, let's see where Jesus is at here. Well, we want him to take care of this, that, and the other. Well, where is he anyway? Well, we have to understand God is not slack for his promises. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. Says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so God is not behind the schedule. His delay is our relay to continue on in the race. in the race of faith. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 in Sunday school. We just started Hebrews chapter 12. And we see that each one of us has been given that space where we race toward the author and finisher in our life. We run with the goal of being more Christ-like, to live life like we're supposed to, and the author and finisher is Jesus Christ. So the disciples here are in this picture here in John chapter 11. And so they see what's going on. They're a little bit confused. They don't understand what Jesus is doing. Neither does Mary or Martha. They're saying, Jesus, you were our friend, and now Lazarus is sick, we hear. You know, you're the great physician. Sometimes today, God takes a pause in our lives and allows sickness to come in. Why does he do that? I think after everything's said and done, we have to laugh at ourselves. We sit back and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm doing better. There was a lady who leads our singing here. A few months ago, she couldn't sing worth a lick. She could not sing at all, hardly. Her voice was gone. And then by the grace of God, her voice came back. And she could sing over an hour last Sunday. You know? And that, again, God is using that for his glory, for his honor. So every time something happens, remember, God has a reason for it. And it should not be confusing. Sometimes life can be complicated. And it is, most definitely. But remember, God's in control. And he is going to be glorified with it. So these disciples, let's get back to this disciples here. We're with Jesus this whole time. We see that this portion of scripture happened in John chapter 11. It happens here that this is like sometime between December and coming up of April before the Passover week. John chapter 12 through John chapter 21, we're looking at, this is when Jesus, this is with his last week here on earth. And so as you look through this portion of scripture here, this is at this time that, remember last week, looked at John chapter 10 verse 40, and then he went away again beyond Jordan to a place where John was baptizing at first, and there where he stayed. And many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him. So where we left off last week is that Jesus went back and he had time to rest. And he had time to work the work of God's miracles in people's lives. Many people came to know him. And they were saying, you know this? This man, Jesus, that John was talking about, all these things came to pass. It's been almost 3 years. And look what's happened with this man named Jesus. The one John said, I must decrease and he must increase. In fact, this Jesus baptized more people than John did. And, you know, even before John's head was lopped off, before he was killed, he'd speak very highly because he said, this is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh, deity. And these things were written. John was writing this. Not John the Baptist, but John the Beloved. Remember, two different Johns there. You had one John that wrote five books. First, second, third, and John the Gospel. And then, of course, another book that he had written. But, you know, the point is that he was writing these things, in Revelation, by the way. He was writing these things that you may believe that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of God. That's what it's all about. Now, his disciples didn't totally understand at that time what Jesus was up to. They had no idea about his resurrection. They understood some things, but not everything. Today, we in our lives were really honest with ourselves. We can ask ourselves, Lord, do I really understand what's going on in my life sometimes? No, we don't. We really don't. But we know, we trust him. Sickness and illness comes along. we have to trust him for that. So give you there the background. So he's there, and he's out there by the Jordan River. He was there for a time. He knew, God foreknows everything, doesn't he? He foreknew that Lazarus was going to get sick. He foreknows everything in their lives. So let it be no surprise if we, brethren, go through a trial, knowing that these trials happen for what? For our growth, for our good. Okay? We live in the tribulations happen because that word has the idea we live in a cursed world. So, therefore, the Judaizers, the Pharisees, religious leaders, and others that hated him, and today there are people that hate Christ. All you have to do is go out there and witness to people. You can offend them, or graciously, they'll accept what you have to say, but not really in their heart want to hear what you have to say. So, therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Verse 39. And then they went about looking for him. They could not find him. And so Jesus went back to the Jordan River area, and he was praying where I left off last week. He was praying. He knew what was going to happen down the road. He knew that the cross was coming in the forefront. But some things had to take place. Some things have to take place in our lives today. So we grow in the Lord. We'd understand him better. So we try to look at all the beauty, all the good things in life in bad circumstances. And so you see here in verse 1, chapter 11, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now Bethany was only like a few miles from Jerusalem where the hot spot was. Jesus was the most wanted man. They hated him because they made him look bad. You ever, I know there's nobody here, you should try to make somebody look bad, right? I hope there's nobody here who does that. I don't think so. But they were upset. They were like, Jesus, you got to go because you're hurting our system, the way we're set up. They weren't following God. They were following after their own fleshly desires. They were looking at all the outside, the physical part. God, remember, is looking on the spiritual part. He is looking on the spiritual aspect. If things don't look right, just remember, God is always seeking the spiritual out in our lives. And he can take care of the physical, but it's only if it's his will. Like we said in Sunday school, you know, you want to know what God's will is? Know his heart. Know his heart. Because his heart beats for us. It's in rhythm for us. We just have to follow the footsteps of Jesus and walk with him. And so you have this Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus here has just gotten sick. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, which was a sign of worship because of what the Lord had done in her life. Remember, she spent over a year's wage. And she did that because she worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ from head to toe. And his brother Lazarus was sick. And, of course, that was mentioned in John chapter 12. So Lazarus was sick. We don't know today what his sickness was. Sometimes we get sick. We don't know why we get sick. We just know that we're sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, whom ye love is sick. Now, we have to understand, too, that, again, that word friendship. God loves us like, you know, we're God's best friend. We are. If we're right with him, he is our best friend. We can talk to him anytime, in the car, while we're walking, at work, or at home. It's just not a time where we have to say grace at dinner time. And so God was always there. He was always there for that family. Loved them very much. He's with our family today too, our families. Continue to pray for our loved ones. He never gave up on us, and we're certainly not going to give up on loved ones we like to see saved. Verse 4 says this, and when Jesus heard that the sickness is not unto death, and for the glory of God, for the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus is saying this. He says the sickness is not unto death. There was a sickness that would glorify the Lord. God already knew what was going on. And so you had the concerned sisters here, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And there were a couple things here that, one, Lazarus had died, okay? And number two, they heard that he was sick. Now, don't you think somebody who could heal someone could go right away and talk to somebody like that and tell them to rise again from the dead? Well, we see what happened here in Luke chapter 7. You had the widow's son and son in Nain in Luke chapter 7. Jesus went and he healed this person who died. Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. Also, Jesus came and healed the daughter right away. But with Lazarus, and this is my point here, with Lazarus, it took him 4 days. Now, it took a day from where he was at, the Jordan River, to go down there to this place here, to Bethany. And also, it took a day for Jesus to get down there. So there were 2 days that Jesus waited. They had to get a messenger up there to the Jordan area and to Jesus. Then it took a day for Jesus to come down. Then there was 2 days that there was a waiting. Sometimes we find it very difficult to wait upon the Lord. We were talking about that over at the Evan Nursing Home. And, you know, I said, you know, sometimes we just have to wait upon the Lord for his timing. Sometimes it's not the right timing. But then also I used the illustration of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, that, you know, where God would use his power and his strength, just like as an eagle's power and strength. And I said, you know, eagles have a wingspan about 6 feet long. And I said, they can soar over life's situations. You know, and, you know, picture us as we were like as eagles. We could soar over life's problems. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 30 and 31, it says that you shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall be utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up as wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So, if you ever seen the majestic picture of an eagle flying over life's circumstances, Jesus knew about life's problems and circumstances. We see this is the rising of Lazarus. We've heard of this story many a time before, that Jesus was just doing one more miracle. And this is the seventh miracle that he did in the Gospel of John. He turned the water into wine in John chapter 2. He had the healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4. Remember, he didn't go down there right away and heal him, because the nobleman said, "Look, my son's dying." Jesus got down there when he could. Restoring of the cripple of 40 years old in John chapter 5. And then there was the multiplying of the fishes and loaves in John chapter 6. Walking on water in John chapter 6. And then we see the curing of the blind man in John chapter 9. And then, of course, the rising of Lazarus. They all heard and they understood that's the disciples, that's us today. They understood what Jesus could do, but they didn't understand how Jesus could do it. You know, it's one thing hearing about it, and it's another thing seeing it in action. It's another thing dealing with life's problems today, and it's another thing with dealing with it. And so we have the Word of God. We have the Scripture to go to. And so Jesus was saying, just hold on. I'll take care of this. Didn't make any sense. Why would he wait? And why would things go the way they did? Just remember, God's delay is not his denial. Doesn't mean he's forgotten about us. Sometimes he puts life on pause. And sometimes we have to suffer through things. But it's for his glory. And so we see a lot of examples of that in Scripture where people really suffered because of their faith. And then we see here, moving on, it says, let's go to the Judea again. He heard about what was going on that Christ did. And they're just like, okay, this is just crazy because these people are out to get you, Jesus. They're going to kill you. And Bethany was just 2 miles away from Jerusalem where the hornet's nest was. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody here who likes to play around with hornet's nest. You know, you wait till nighttime. You go out there and you take your black flag and you spray it. And then you run like, you know, you're praying and you're running. And the next day you come out and see they're all dead. You knock the nest down. Usually I wait a couple of nights, you know, spray it real good. But nobody likes to be around, you know, as the saying goes, you like being around snakes? No. You like to be around hornets? No. But there's certain kinds of people you don't want to be around. Okay. His disciples said unto him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anybody walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Jesus is making a very good point here. He's saying, look, either you can go with the way of the worldly wisdom, which is devilish in James chapter 3, or you can go with godly wisdom, okay, which is of God, which bears the fruit of the Spirit in James chapter 3. You see it right there. And so, remember, worldly wisdom is only temporal. It sounds good. It may last a little while and it's okay, but it runs out of steam. It sits there. It dies. God's wisdom continues on with the fruit of the Spirit. And so these things he said, Jesus said in verse 11, he said after he said that to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And that's another word for being dead. But I go that I may wake him. Now they thought at this time, well, Lazarus is asleep. He's really sick. And they had no idea. They had no comprehension. Sometimes that's in our life. We don't understand the way God works. But Jesus is talking about his resurrection. Now, mind you, be careful. There are wolves out there in sheep's clothing, false teachers, and it doesn't have to mean the Sunday school teacher or a preacher. It means people even in the congregation will tell you that this is talking about soul sleep. And there are different cults out there, and different churches speak about soul sleep. And that is further from the truth, because I don't believe in purgatory. I don't believe in the Jehovah Witnesses and others out there that believe that, well, you know, when you die, you go into a place of soul sleep, and if we say enough prayers for you, or if you've had enough good works, then eventually, you know, you'll get to heaven. No. Absent from the body, present from the Lord. No. The Scripture makes it very clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And so we take that with comfort because we take the Word of God literally. And so Jesus knows also our expiration date. Jesus knows when we're going to go home to be with him. But Jesus knew his expiration date. We don't. We don't get it. We don't want to know. I don't want to know when I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. I don't. I want to live each day like the Lord's coming back, like the rapture's going to take place. I'm all ready for that. God has given us what he has given us. We should be thankful for all things. So then his disciples said in their confusion, it says, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? That sometimes God puts our lives on pause because he wants something to work out in our lives. He's got something going on good in the background. And number two, he's got something put on pause because maybe we could have gotten ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. You know, I remember just a few years ago driving, and I remember going down the road, and I remember seeing this massive backup. And I'll never forget that we were delayed at home because my wife couldn't find some things. And I was just like, oh, we're going to be running late. There was a very bad accident here in Wisconsin. I'll never forget and I remember looking at my time, and I was thinking, Lord, if I had left in a hurry to go foolishly, not waiting upon my wife, which I've got to give her a chance. My goodness, she's got a life too, and love her, take care of her like Christ did for the church. Why, you know what? If I had left when I did, I could have been in an accident. So the reasons why God puts our lives on pause. Look at the good things, be thankful. And I tell you what, I had to wait about 45 minutes by the time we got through. A horrible, horrible accident. But I tell you what, I was very thankful I wasn't part of that accident. And so everything we should do in prayer and supplication. Prayer, talking to God, supplication, that means making our request made known to him. And that constant fellowship, always, always, always. So Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now it's interesting that here they are, they're going to go in faith. And you had the disciples now that were very cautious. They were like, okay, Jesus, this is making no sense at all. You're saying that Lazarus, he's dead. You postponed and he was sick and, you know, you could have gone and healed him. But now you're saying for our sakes, we don't get it. We don't understand. He was talking about the cross. He was talking about what he would have to do in that next week that was coming. Because like in John chapter 12 through 21, that's referring to the last week of Christ. Now, it says here, and then Jesus said unto them, plainly, okay, excuse me, verse 15, then Thomas, he was called the twin. Now, why did he call him the twin? Because a lot of people, expositors, think that he looked a lot like Jesus, okay? And even the early church fathers. So that's kind of a quirky words in there. It's just like, why is that there? What difference does that make in verse 16, Thomas called the twin? Said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, Thomas, you remember, doubting Thomas, he looked at the situation. He was saying, okay, Jesus, you want to go to Bethany? Have you ever seen somebody who got their eyes wide open walking through the fire in life? A youngster or even somebody who says, don't go there. Don't even step in that stuff there. It's bad for you. Don't go there. Well, doubting Thomas was, we look at him and say, well, you know, he's the one who doubted the Lord, had to put his hand into the Lord's side. But Thomas was saying here in a pessimistic attitude, Lord, you know what? And some people think it was pessimistic. Other people think it was a bold thing to say. Lord, we will go with you no matter what. We will fight this out, and by the grace of God, we will march on. And we will do what we have been called to do. We will die with you, Lord. And so all this was going on, and I'm very sure Mary and Martha were kind of puzzled too. And the disciples. And why is this going on? Well, you know, we today have a tendency to look down on people that aren't courageous, who aren't bold. But, you know, Thomas, I believe in this situation, he was willing to lay down his life. And, you know, it's interesting if we look in John chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, Jesus was always there for his disciples. Jesus did not allow Thomas to do this. You know why? If you look over in John chapter 18, verses 8 and 9, Jesus answered and said, I had told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. And that he was saying what might be fulfilled, which he spoke of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane later on, remember that, and he was arrested. They were coming in. They could have arrested the disciples. Thomas was looking at it like this. Lord, you're going to go down to Lazarus' house and raise him from the dead. You know what? You might as well be arrested. They had no idea. They were thinking like, Lord, they might kill you. They might even kill you on the spot. Remember, Jesus is the most wanted man at that time with the religious leaders and others. They hated him. So Thomas, you know, what the Lord had to emphasize with him and the others was that, you know what? I'm not going to let you be hurt. I'm not going to let you get killed. I am going to let you survive for a purpose. When I'm saying this here this morning, each one of us has a purpose in life. I cannot compare one person's life to another. That is totally unfair and ungodly, I believe. But I believe that God had this sickness unto death for a reason. He could have let anything happen. Think about the possibilities. They were all there, and even in our own lives, anything could happen in our lives. But God had this reason so that he may be glorified, that his plan would be fulfilled, like in our lives today. Our lives have a plan and a purpose. Let me encourage you today that some of us are going through some very difficult times, very difficult. But God will be glorified, and we are determined today to glorify him no matter what. And so you had Thomas. No, don't be concerned about that. So they, as we'll find out next week, that they all go down there, and we see what's going to happen here. So there is a reason for things to happen. And there's a good reason why we all have to be cautious. And there's a good reason why we need to be concerned. We might be that certain individual that is going through this right now. And thank God for, you know, if we listen to him and obey him and trust him for his glory and his honor, then he'll bring everything to pass. Just watch what he does. Isn't it wonderful? Can't we just say that here today? Seeing what God has done when we wait upon him and we can soar over life's problems. He's taking care of everything. Humanly speaking, it's ridiculous. Worldly speaking, it's foolishness. But in our eyes, in God's eyes, seen through our eyes, it all makes sense. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the ever-living story in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you conquered death. We thank you for the life that you've given us through the resurrection. We thank you for the cross and for your death, Lord, that we may have eternal life. Father, we just ask you, Lord, as your people this week, be encouraged, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to follow you, to pick up our crosses, and continue to realize that your burden is light. And, Lord, that we need to call upon you. Lord, we pray that for those who aren't saved, Lord, that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Savior, realizing that they are sinners, realizing that there is a life after this death. It's either in heaven or in hell. Lord, we thank you, God. We just pray that you'll reveal those things to people that are searching for you, and that you're a rewarder for those who seek you and find you and with salvation. And we just pray, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.